The Utah Museum of Fine Arts just opened an exhibit that features three masterpieces from the Smithsonian. They're all iconic landscapes, though each very different in style. There's the 1932 Manhattan by George O'Keefe and Alma Thomas's 1972 Red Sunset Old Pond Concerto. Stephanie Stebisch is director of the Smithsonian American Art Museum, and KUER's Elaine Clark sat down with her at UMFA in front of the third piece, a 19th century landscape of southern Utah.
When you first encounter Thomas Moran's Mist and Kanab, Utah, from 1892, you're just sucked into the painting. Your eyes are taken up towards the left corner where you see a wonderful light emanating, the mist around this jutting geological rock formation. Then the artist takes you to the right and you see a bird in flight. He invites you to circle around to the right and see light hitting another great rock formation. And then it takes you down where your eye is stopped by a group of boulders that encircle clear, crisp water. If you look closely, the artist captures your eye with a red dot, signifying a figure, likely a Native American figure, standing minuscule in this epic landscape. And then the artist sweeps your eye to the left. Even the trees are small, as again, these powerful rock formations pull you upwards into the sky. With landscapes in particular, the artist is very thoughtful about where they make the viewer stand. We must be standing on a rocky outcropping too. We have a view down to the small figure in the foreground, and yet we still have this vista, this view upwards to the sky and then the sunlight that tells us that this is a sacred place.
Thomas Moran started coming out west in the 1870s. What were he and other artists looking for when they came here?
Thomas Moran had a serviceable career, but he got that lucky call. He was recommended to join an expedition in 1871, which brought him out to Yellowstone. And that made his career. Those Yellowstone paintings that he brought back would forever change American life and American history. These images were brought to Congress and really persuaded then-President Grant to create a uniquely American institution that would be the National Park System. And because of that success, he was invited once again in 1873 to go out to the Grand Canyon with a side expedition to southern Utah as well as Idaho.
Moran said, "My general scope is not realistic. All my tendencies are towards idealization." What did he mean by that?
We like to think that artists are faithful, and yet we have to remember at this time it is the beginning of photography. And there would be an epic struggle between the realism of photography and the realism that artists also employed. And yet the artist could frame the scene in a very different way, could add light in a way that had perhaps mystical or symbolic purposes. And certainly with landscapes, there's a grandeur that even with the best of photography, we can't capture. Our eyes can see in a way that even technology can't bring to life, the sense of color and the mist in the air. These are things that the artist evokes, idealizes for us. And that is, of course, why we are so moved by the work of great artists like a Thomas Moran.
How did Moran's contemporaries react to it?
Yeah, this is a fascinating moment in American history where there are these very important expeditions that are launched to the West. They are military in purpose. They may be scientific as well. And artists are trained at this particular moment in a European tradition. And artistic interests are more in capturing cathedrals and castles, which are these European markers of importance. And what does America, as a still fairly young country, have? Well, there is suddenly an appreciation that we have the grandeur of nature, of an unparalleled environment. You know, he chose to call himself Thomas Yellowstone Moran. I think that is so evocative of how he saw his place in the unfolding history of the West. He was such an important figure as an artist. It affected him deeply. These were incredibly arduous journeys, not for the faint of heart, but they were there for a higher purpose, and they too saw the awe in nature. And for them to bring it back so powerfully to the rest of us, that's a gift.